Sesame Street was always considered an experiment. The first show opened in 1969 with this space-age synthesizer music and a question. Could kids actually learn anything from a television set?
The one thing about Sesame Street that hasn't changed in 40 years is that we still call it an experiment in children's television.
Carolyn Parenti is the executive producer of Sesame Street. This year, producers once again added new characters, rearranged the show, and jazzed up that theme. Parenti says numbers and letters never change, but getting kids to learn them takes constant tweaking. So, what has the Sesame Street team learned? Let's count. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lesson number
one.
Children are much more adaptable than once thought. Originally, the monsters were not going to interact with humans on Sesame Street.
At the time, educators were concerned that if, in fact, you were on the street with human characters and trying to teach something and Muppets appeared, there would be a mix-up between what was considered to be fantasy and reality, and the children would have difficulty adjusting to that.
Louise Gicko wrote the new book, Sesame Street, 40 Years of Life on the Street. She says that when they test marketed the show, they found the exact opposite. Kids paid more attention when the Muppets talked. Which brings us to lesson number
two.
A good Muppet character takes time to grow.
I'm Carol Spinney. For 40 years, I've been playing Big Bird.
Hello.
And Oscar the Grouch. Get away from me. And he's never liked me, Oscar.
There's a sweetness to the Muppets now. So it's hard to believe that in the beginning they felt raw, even scary. Oscar seemed meaner. Big Bird was a big dope.
Hell, Gordon. He talked like that the first show.
The key for all the Muppets was finding that human character inside. Spinney's realization was that Big Bird wasn't stupid. He was a 6-year-old.
He's sort of a surrogate child. He learned the alphabet along with the kids at home.
And as for Oscar, that's lesson number Oscar was orange in the first season. Cookie Monster once had teeth. If a character feels real, then kids can accept the changes. Speaking of Cookie, let's have him help with lesson number
four. Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that start with C.
How about the word competition?
I love you.
Let's go!
Was getting crowded in children's TV. Sesame Street had to adapt.
Yo, MC Elmo got something to say about the Sesame number 40 game. It's the number we're pitching in, that's no jive. It's cool, it's hip, it's fresh and fun.
Lesson five, freshen up. Elmo played a big part in brightening Sesame Street. But another change could be seen on the street itself.
I've lived 40 years in this lovely, classy part of the neighborhood.
Carol Spinney shows me around the set. It still has that urban New York vibe. But back when I watched the program, the street was darker. There was graffiti, and you could hear these cars rushing by. Looking at the early episodes, the current set looks so much cleaner. It looks like they cleaned up the neighborhood a little bit.
It looked more grungy. Frankly, I loved it grungy.
Well, much like the city of New York, it's been gentrified a little bit. Cleaned up?
Yes, yes. I think the whole country has come up that way.
But Spinney promises me Oscar will never be moved to a recycling bin. Of course, Sesame Street has made mistakes before. Now, where were we in that count of lessons learned by Sesame Street over the last 40 years?
I'm six years old today. Yay!
Ah, yes, six. Learning from mistakes. In 1994, Sesame Street sprawled. They built a new part of the neighborhood around the corner from the old street and added tons of new characters and Ruth Buzzy.
Today, we're going to cook up one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, the number six.
But author Louise Gicko says it was too confusing.
So they pulled back on the characters and went back to the street.
Sesame Street was learning to keep it simple.
Seven cookies.
At the number seven slot, a lesson about children.
They love a narrative.
Rosemary Trulio is in charge of research at Sesame Street. She says the early show is modeled after fast-paced variety shows like Laugh-In. But kids, with their VCRs and DVDs, were developing a longer attention span.
And we were breaking up the narrative in these little skits and interrupting it with the lessons about letters and numbers and sharing and brushing your teeth instead of having the children experience the narrative as a 15-minute story.
These days, Sesame Street has a more regimented pace. There's a long story out on the street, then mini-shows. Ernie and Bert get their 10 minutes, Elmo gets his 15. Turns out it's calm and predictable for the younger audience that Sesame Street is drawing these days. No more getting distracted by a chef on a staircase.
Raspberry pudding, desserts.
And our last lesson, number 8, pushing the envelope. This season, Ernie and Bert are presented in claymation. The fairy, Abby Cadabby, is computer-generated.
Let's go in! Let's begin a flying fairy school!
It is downright shocking for parents who grew up with the real furry puppets, who want the new Sesame Street to be like the one they watched. But researchers say that children barely notice. The characters are real to them, whatever the format. And perhaps that can be our bonus lesson from the 40-year experiment called Sesame Street. The children are always right. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
Sesame Street is a production of the Children's Television Workshop. Word up!